Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Welcome to the Leighton Orient Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins. And I'm delighted to say, for the first Leighton Orient Fan Show, I've been joined by Julian Fern, Brendan Pitcher and Adam Sampson. Boys, pleasure to have you all in the studio.
Thank you.
How are you all feeling?
Good.
All good.
Some nerves, pre-match nerves. Did we get the intro music right? Was this a hit?
100%.
Spot on.
That's all that matters. We're off to a flyer. Talking to a flyer. It has been a bit of a bittersweet summer, of course. Back in the Football League, Adam, very pleased to be there. League 2, we're going to be tackling League 2. How are we feeling about being there? Obviously talking a little bit about pre-season, but of course a very sad summer in the fact that Justin Edinburgh, manager, passing away at 49. Just a terrible loss. Almost, really, I've been struggling all day. I've been talking to producer Mike. How do we even talk about it? Because it's hard to talk about it and put it into words. Because on one hand, delighted that we're back up there, but such a huge loss. I don't even think it's even possible to get over and talk about it, is it?
Yeah, I think it's something that obviously took everyone by surprise, a complete shock. And after the huge celebrations of being promoted, it just obviously brought everyone down to earth. And for me personally, I don't think it's actually sort of hit home yet. I haven't been to a game since the final game last season where I ended up somehow in the dugout and rubbed Justin's head as congratulated him. And I think being back in the ground on Saturday, it will really hit home. But I think it's just, for me, just unfair that he didn't get to see it through. Best manager probably in my lifetime. And just obviously heartbreaking for everyone.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And Julian, you know, first game of the new season, League Two, you're at home. It's going to be a bit of a weird atmosphere because it's going to be the first game back. I don't even know how you deal with it as fans because, like you said, I don't think the news has sunk in yet. There is still an element of shock about it all, isn't there?
I think a lot of us have been to sort of the pre-season and you look at the dugout and you just think, any minute now, Justin's going to come out or come down from the stand, and he's not. I think, me personally, I'm a little bit older than the guys here, is that you're mourning someone you don't really know. And it's been a shock. And I'm going to admit it, I cried when I heard the news. You know, I was sitting on the sofa at home and my better half said, look, I can't believe this. And within sort of about half an hour, went down the club. And I live a few miles away. And it's like, just want to be around Orient people. And I think on Saturday, because we are very much a family club, you're going to get that. You're going to get some big old grown men like myself crying on the terraces and just remembering that day when sort of we all run on the pitch and that final whistle and that's gone. But as the club's tried to, and I think the fans are trying to continue that legacy, and I think his son's done a remarkable job in the Justin Edinburgh 3 Foundation and forming that and the PR around that, and I think everyone's got behind it in the football community, which is wonderful.
Well, I think this is it. And Brendan, you know, Julian just mentioned there that we're going to see big men cry. But I don't think you have to be a big man or an Orient fan. I think everyone was touched by this story, wasn't it? And everyone was shocked by it. And I think the whole footballing world are really mourning together, aren't they, Justin's loss?
Yeah, I'd like to credit the Cheltenham fans, especially who are opponents on the opening day. I think they've raised a lot of money for the Justin Edinburgh Foundation. They've got a big flag they're going to be putting on display for the game. It's going to be really emotional, I think. And it's nice to have opposition sets of fans who kind of have taken part and know what we're going through and kind of like understanding.
Because football is a territorial sport, we know that. There's nothing better than having some rivals and some enemies and the banter between fans. But really, the footballing world's at its best when we all come together, don't it? You're saying Cheltenham there, the first game in, they know what it means to you. And it's not about League Two aspirations or Leighton Orient versus Cheltenham. It's about that day, isn't it? And Justin Edinburgh's sort of legacy, as you just said it, Julian.
Yeah, I think absolutely. As Julian said, they've got a big flag and they're making a lot of donations. And I think actually one of the things that struck me after the news of Justin's death was that he was a legend in the game, and not just in the lower leagues, and obviously he played for Spurs in a long career, but every footballer on Twitter was coming out and saying how much of a nice guy he was, and everyone in the club was saying how much of a pleasure it was to work with him. And like you said, it just goes beyond football, really.
It does. And I think when we have sad news like this, everyone wants to look at the good and point out the good. But genuinely, with Justin, it was true, wasn't it? We talked about the cohesion in the squad, how we got everyone together. And it was the first time in a good few years that Orient had this real feel-good vibe around the club. And it was down to him, really, wasn't it?
But also, he got us, you know, he got the club. As Adam was saying, he had a great career at Spurs, but he really got Orient. And that for us a lot here, that means a lot. We were talking a bit earlier before we come in about sort of our successful managers over recent years. And I think the biggest thing for me, they just didn't get us. Yeah, they were there doing a job, and that's it. But Justin was there. He wanted to take this so-called great club back up to where it should be, and he did it, and he really got it, and his family did as well, and everyone around him, and that's the bit I think, if you find this as a fan, it's going to be a bit difficult, because it was very much in it together, and we will be, you know. Ross is going to do a fantastic job, you know, and we've got to support him, and he's the only one who knows how good it's going to be, because he's in control. He can never be Justin, but Ross is a good manager in his own right, so upwards and onwards.
You mentioned Ross there. Let's talk a little bit about that now, because there will be a new managerial team, even though Justin, I'm sure it will be through his philosophy and in his style. Danny Webb as well, Joby McNuff. How sort of that trio then, how is that all going to work? Because they've all been given different titles, haven't they? Player coach, interim player coach, assistant player coach, head coach. Is it sort of to carry on Justin's legacy, or is this really going to be their own values?
I think it was obviously an unprecedented situation, and I feel like the club couldn't really do much more than promote from internally. Personally, I'm not entirely sure that Ross wanted the job, and I think obviously he's been given an interim manager title, which I think can be positive in terms of there's not that much pressure, but negative in terms of maybe players don't want to come in under an interim manager. But obviously you have all of our backing, but personally I feel like they've sort of said to him, give it a few months, get us through pre-season, get the lads back up to where we need to be, and they'll look potentially to bring someone else in, but we'll see. It'll be interesting to find out how that goes.
I think you're right there, because the interim tag, it can be almost, there is two sides to it. There can be a negative in the fact, though, players, if they're not on their best day, they want to maybe throw a toy out the pram, and they're saying, well, I'm not buying into this system. You're only an interim manager. How long are you going to be here? I mean, the front office, the team upstairs can't even commit to you. So how can I commit as a player?
I think for new players, you know, we've seen it in the last couple of weeks, and players we've been sort of linked with and all over Twitter. And you think, okay, mostly Twitter links are normally come on, and none of them have come over. So are those players thinking, if I go under Ross and then he's out on his ear in say, 3-4 months' time, and someone else comes in, will they still want me? And I don't know. I'm not a football player, but people have strange mindset when they're making a decision. They're committing to something. So as you said, I think that it can rub off. I think the incumbency there, the players we've got in the club now, I don't think there's going to be an issue there. I don't think any of them will throw the toys out the pram. Pardon your pun there. But for me, I think attracting new players pre-season, which we're getting to the end of, and then at Christmas again, maybe a little bit, we'll get some better players come through, because they're thinking, okay, Ross has been there for 3-4 months and successes hopefully have come on, and then back at then. So I don't know, it's really odd. It's such a strange thing, you know. We all talk about it sort of in our own sort of lives, about the situation we find ourselves in. Everyone in the club, from literally us fans right through to the management, have never been in this position before.
Brendan, can there be a flip side to it there, where it almost can create a little bit of momentum? Because now, after the sad loss of Justin, the managers are up for it, the players are up for it, they know what it means. We're going to buy in now, because we almost want to do it justice. We don't want to let that down. Do you know what I mean? Can there be a positive reaction from it?
No better motivation, I think. I think the players will be riled up. They're going to be thinking, oh, all right, we're doing this for Justin. This is a season. This is what we're doing. But also, is that too much emotional pressure? You've never seen a club's never been in this situation before, I think. That's the problem. It's unprecedented. There's no rule book to follow. So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows when the bright lights are on, how the players will really find themselves in that situation, how they will react. Well, the players are back in the Football League. You're back in League Two. It's where you wanted to be. We nearly done the non-league double last year, but we won't talk about it because we got promotion, and that's the main thing.
No one likes Wembley, do
they? Yeah, no one likes Wembley. Who cares? We won the league. That's what we're talking about. We're going up as league champions. You are in League Two. You know, the games come thick and fast, as they do down in the lower divisions. 2 games a week, 3 games a week. But how, you know, let's put all this aside, how are you feeling about being back in League Two?
I've got mixed feelings. Obviously, last day of last season, the feeling of going up, finally getting out of non-league, which wasn't a particularly nice place to be, personally. Back where we sort of belong in the Football League, and everyone was up. And I think there's a lot of teams that have gone straight up from League Two, and we had that momentum. Obviously, we had a fantastic manager. We had a good core group of players. I think, obviously, the news about Justin knocked that out of the club slightly, which is obviously to be expected. And personally, I can't help but feel slightly disappointed in where we are in terms of players coming in. I think that all along, when you go into a new division, it's all about consolidation, and I think every Orient fan will be happy if we just stay there. But I'm slightly concerned, and that happy delirium, I guess, rubbed off slightly, but I think that's to be expected.
Well, a lot of articles I've read are saying that Orient, you know, just going to not be in a relegation battle, but they're going to be there or there about 17th. But then I saw that the bookies have got them at 4-1 to reach the playoffs. So a bit of mixed views there. But we all want straight again promotion, double promotions. We can see that because that does happen, doesn't it? Sometimes when a team gets one promotion, they carry on and they sort of, we see this back-to-back stuff. Like we see in the other side, clubs can free fall sometimes, get relegated once and then they get relegated again.
I think it was us.
Yeah. Rings a bell. I was trying to be subtle about it, but there you go. But you're going to get the double promotion this time, so don't worry. What would be not an acceptable scenario for this situation, but for this season, shall I say, but where would you want to be? Obviously, we know, you know, the best case scenario, you go up, but what would be acceptable?
I think a lot of fans sort of on that day when we were promoted, we was on rolling around the pitch thinking, you know what, we're just at the helm, this is going up again. But reality now, I think mid-table or just outside the playoffs would be really nice to do, just to keep that momentum. You look at Lincoln, I think they had a good pump of it the first time round, and then in the second time of asking,
play good football.
Yeah, and went up. And that's one thing on the O's. I think we've always tried to play football. And that's the thing about, and sort of, Adam was talking about sort of the National League. I actually quite enjoyed it. Because I went to quite a lot of the games and saw places that you'd never thought had football teams. But it was really good. You know, you go there with a bit of confidence. Yeah, you wouldn't get in the car park and think, right, okay, we leave when the third goal goes in. Only at Bromley I did that. But sort of you stay there until to the 90 minutes because you know you're going to get competitive. But the Football League, we've been there before. We've been there for a number of years. And it's back to a starting block. I think over the next couple of years, I think what as general fans will want to do is over the hopefully the next 2 or 3 years, we go back up to League One to where we were before. And then whatever happens, you know. And in League One, you're again playing again a better football, better teams. And then, as you know, we nearly got sort of through the playoffs into the Championship before, you know. A learning friends knocked us out. But you just got to be realistic. We don't know. With everything we're settling into now is so different, and it can't plan for it, you know. The club was planning for something completely different at the end of last season.
So, Brendan, it's fair to say then that O's fans, they're just looking to establish themselves for a few years rather than get those lofty expectations and shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, if we avoid a relegation battle, I'd be happy with that, certainly. Maybe a nice cup run, maybe a third round against a big Premier League club, just to be like, all right, we've gone from Bromley to, I don't know, Arsenal away, something like that.
Brendan's after a big payday.
We don't
payday.
Go Arsenal away, do we?
We do. Adam, do you agree?
Yeah.
Well, they're looking for a big payday. And if you are listening and you're an Orient fan, then you can also WhatsApp us on 0208 7020 558 or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. But next, though, we're going to be joined by an Orient legend.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient fan show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say I've been joined by Julian Fern, Brendan Pitcher and Adam Sampson. And even better than that, we've also been joined by legend from Leighton Orient, Gary Alexander. Gary, great to have you on the phone with us. The boys are back in League Two. How are you feeling about the new season ahead?
No, it's obviously fantastic for them to get back after what they've been through over the years. You know, they've worked hard to get there. Obviously, what happened over the summer was obviously terrible, terrible news for the club and the people of the family of Justin. But hopefully that can make them stronger and they can go and achieve everything that Justin would have wanted them to do.
Gaz, hi, it's Julian here. Just a couple of things. It's very hard for as a fan, you know, to get a sort of bit of airtime with one of your legends. And one of my question for you, really, is sort of, as a player, the word legend's bandied about a lot, isn't it? You know, and how would you as a player consider, or the classification, what a legend is? What do you think that is, mate?
I wouldn't say I'm a legend, but it's obviously, you know, football fans, they love players that play for the club, you know, and if you go and achieve great things with that football club and probably overachieve at times what the club expects, you know, then you can go down in folklore.
Talking of legend, I guess on the opposite side of it, you had a bit of a mixed relationship with the Orient fans after you left. I seem to remember a few goals at maybe at Brentford, Cup in the Year and all that. That must have felt a bit weird, obviously, being an Orient legend and obviously getting us promoted a few years earlier, and then getting some, let's say, tasty comments from the away fans.
Yeah, no. Do you know what? For me, it's all good fun. You know, like getting booed and things like that makes me stronger. But I've got great friends at Leighton Orient still. I still speak to a few fans which follow that club home and away. I've got a good relationship with Lingy and people at that club, you know, and it means a lot to me, that football club. But if I'm in an opposition side, I'm getting booed. If they can boo me and abuse me, why can't I celebrate if I score a goal? You know, that's the way I work. And it's all fun to me. And you can look back over the years and see these people what obviously booed you in the stands and that. And when they see you now, they want to talk to you, you know. So it's all a little bit of fun.
Nothing wrong with a bit of stick, Gary, and a keyboard warrior there. But I did want to ask you, you touched upon Justin Edinburgh there and obviously the tragic passing of him and how difficult that has been for Orient fans now that they've been promoted as well. Will this be a sort of a mental challenge for the players going into the new season? Because it will be hanging them over somewhat. Will this constantly be in the back of their minds? And how will they go about sort of battling that challenge?
No, of course. I think, obviously, with the majority of the squad staying, a few coming in, I'm sure that Ross and Danny won't change too much of how Justin worked, how he wanted to run that club, how he wanted that team to play, you know, because the boys had that understanding clearly because they went on to get, obviously, win a tough league last year. So I'm sure, hopefully, it makes them mentally stronger. Hopefully, it finds that little bit of extra effort to go and achieve something and make it a real special season in his remembrance.
Hi, Gary. Much like the current squad, there was a lot of talented players that came through the academy during your time. Who was the most talented, do you think?
Who came through the academy? Well, you had like Jabbo, didn't you? We had a group. Probably Jabbo, but to be honest, Jabbo could have been anything he wanted to be. Did he achieve what he could have achieved? Maybe a little bit of consistency, and he could have played a lot higher, you know, because at times he was unplayable, but it wasn't enough out of 10. It wasn't 7, 8, 9 times out of 10. It was probably 3 and 4, which probably stopped him going on. But he was an incredible talent and he's gone on to have a good career.
And going back to the conversation, obviously, about player mindset, obviously, you were involved in Orient's last promotion prior to last year. And obviously, I think the season we got promoted into League One, we struggled a bit. Would you say that was we sort of underestimated League One at the time, and do you think there's a risk that happens this year? And I guess from a player's perspective, was that a bit of a shock from going from winning every week to all of a sudden having to battle for a point away sort of thing?
No, I think there's levels within the football pyramid, you know, and people say, oh, there's not much difference. There is a difference. If there wasn't a difference, everyone would be in the same league, you know. There's clearly a difference, and when you step up, you obviously have to adapt to games become quicker, faster, whatever, you know, and it's not easy, but It's one of them. You have to adapt quickly, but a club like Leighton Orient can't just go out and sign 15 players. So the boys will get you promoted have to obviously be given a chance, you know, and hopefully they can adapt to that level. If they can't, then obviously changes have to be made and you have to progress it that way, you know. So, but there's certainly levels, there's certainly gaps, you know, within the leagues, and going up from Conference to League Two, there will be a difference, clearly. People say there won't, but there is.
Gary, you mentioned you're talking about levels there. Leighton Orient have just been promoted. How big is the gulf in class in non-league to League Two? How big of a jump is that?
Well, for a club like Leighton Orient, was full-time. There's obviously clubs part-time in non-league, which would find it difficult. But obviously Leighton Orient, I'd imagine, will adapt quickly. Lingy's been there, seen it, done it before, you know, so he sort of knows the calibre of the league and what sort of players are in it and how to adapt to it. So I'm sure Leighton Orient will have no problems. But for those players who have never played in it, what have come through, obviously been in the conference with Leighton Orient, but never played in the league, i.e. maybe some of the youngsters, they're certainly going to obviously find a difference, and they have to adapt quickly because, as I said, there are levels.
And your manager at the time was Martin Ling. He's director of football there now, and he's going to be helping Ross Embleton a lot this season. Give us the insight into his managerial mindset. What was he like as a manager?
No, Lingy obviously wants to play for. He knows the style of play for them leagues. You know, like he's a good man manager. He get the best out of the boys. Obviously, like you said, he's going to help Ross along the way. And as I said, I'm sure Leighton Orient will adapt quickly because they've got someone of Lingy's experience on the side. You know, obviously they would have liked to have Justin with them, but he's not. But obviously, moving forward, they have to adapt quickly to that level, and I'm sure having Lingy on your side is an added bonus. There'd be less experienced people within that league than Lingy, so that's advantage Leighton Orient.
That's good. Gaz, just a personal note, when you was at the O's, who was the best player did you play with over your time there?
The best player I played with, well, Well, as a forward, to be fair, probably partnership-wise, it was probably Lee Steele. We had a good understanding, you know, as a partnership. We sort of worked well off each other. John Mackey, obviously unbelievable leader. I've gone on to have a good relationship with John, and he's been my assistant manager for a few years, obviously, when I've got jobs. Matty Lockwood was a special talent, you know, at left-back. How he didn't go on and play a lot higher, I don't know, but he was seemed to be set late in Orient. But we had loads. I'd hate to, like, obviously single out an individual, because we had a special squad there. You had Craig Easton. We had a lot of good players in within the squad, and it'd be difficult to pick one out, but probably John Mackey, Matty Lockwood, they were very good players. Lee Steele obviously was my partner, and we had a good relationship and understanding with each other.
You mentioned John there and sort of your relationship as sort of coach and assistant. Would you ever think you'll put your hat in the ring to manage Orient one day?
Look, I'd love to have an opportunity to manage an old club that I've been at and obviously the league we've been in. But we have to work, and obviously at the moment I'm out of work in terms of management. But hopefully an opportunity comes along sooner rather than later, and I can prove my worth and work my way back up the ladders. I've done a bit of grounding in the lower leagues. Hopefully my next step will be maybe a league, maybe two leagues above, and I can prove my worth, you know, because hopefully in the future that's where I'd love to be.
Gary, the real football starts this weekend, so pre-season is no more. The players have got off the beach, they're back in shape. It starts this weekend. But who was the best on a night out? That's what we really want to know.
Who was the best on a night out? Oh, well.
Matt, that's the real dirt we're after.
To be honest, again, I'll say it, we used to get kicked out of many a bar in Covent Garden as a squad. So Mackie would probably start the songs off, and within 5 or 10 minutes, everyone's singing, even the pub. But in the end, we all get kicked out, so we'd all have to leave together. So
What was the signature tune? What would be the go-to song?
I'm singing in the rain.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm singing in the rain. All of a sudden, the whole of the pub singing it in Covent Garden. And within 5 minutes, the manager's over. Could you quiet him down? No, it gets even louder and we're booted out.
Well, there you have it. Gary, like we said, you are back in League Two. It does start this weekend. Can we get a quick season prediction? And how will it go against Cheltenham this weekend?
I'd like to think Orient can win. They've obviously come in off the back of a good season. Confidence is high. Hopefully mental strength is good, you know, with what's gone on over the summer, and they can start the season with 3 points, you know. So I'd like to think they can be top half of the table. It's a big club in that league for me, like in Orient in League Two, and I'd imagine expectation is that they can hopefully be top half and even push in for them playoffs.
Cheers, Gary. We really appreciate you coming on tonight and giving us some time. Gary Alexander there, Leighton Orient legend. How good was that to talk to
Cheers,
him?
Cheers, Gazza.
He said Singing in the Rain. Would that be your go-to song?
It's a bit of a weird one, isn't it, for a big night out in London. But he's their own.
I wasn't expecting that. I don't know what he was going to say, but I'm Singing in the Rain. He reckons it's going to be, you know, he spoke about levels there, you know, the jump up. But I don't know how much of a jump up it is from League Two to non-league. I reckon Leighton Orient maybe could surprise a few people.
I don't know. I think National League last year, there was more and more clubs as the season went on turn pro, or full-time, sorry. And I think going into the League Two, there's a lot of clubs in there who have been in the lower league, who's progressed through and gone through that journey. So I think we'll be all right, you know. I don't think we're going to go sort of tumbling down. I think the first few games we've got to get sort of a good performance, you know, a win's a win, but a performance to get the confidence sort of going through. And I think, as Gazza said about some of those players stepping up from National League, but if you look across the core of the players, most of them have played league football. So it's not like we've got a really young and experienced squad. So I'm quietly confident.
I think last season as well, you saw two sides of the coin. You had the National League winners in Macclesfield just about stay up thanks to Sol Campbell doing really well there. But then you also had Tranmere, who won the playoffs. They won the playoffs again, and now they're in League One. So it depends how you approach it. It depends what your budget is. It depends how big the step up is, how you make it, I think, almost.
I completely agree. You never know. And in the lower leagues, let's say, everyone can sort of beat everyone, can't they, on their given day. And, you know, it is a long old season, 46 games in a season, you know, and you're playing teams. Is it the right time? Is it the bad time? Injuries, suspensions, teams go on rungs. You can never quite predict what's going to happen. But if you can get off to a good start, or is it imperative, actually, Adam, that Orient do get off to a flyer?
I think, actually, all that's happened over the last few months, I think that the start, which is on paper relatively straightforward, Cheltenham and Macclesfield probably struggle this year, in my opinion. And I think actually, if we do get off to a bad start, it could cause a bit of a rot. But I think, in going back to the question about the National League, I think the big difference for me is that, first of all, it's going to be slightly less physical in League Two. You'd have some games in the National League where the refs wouldn't give anything. James Dayton, good example last year.
Oh, we're not going to have a season of you moaning about refs, are we, Adam? Already complaining about decisions.
They can't be worse than last year. So
we'll get VAR in League Two.
Yeah. I think the big difference, and it's probably the same for any level, is last season you had teams which four or five easy chances and they'd maybe score one if you're lucky. I think in League Two you're not going to have that. Those breaks, and I think they're going to put a lot more away. And at the other end, we need to put our chances away as well.
You say about sort of kicking off and winning. I think we just need to have a good couple of games, getting the boys playing well again. The result, if it's a 0-0, but we play well, I think we just need to get their confidence back. And I think that the Justin Edinburgh sort of momentum will be there. But reality is, I think it'll be a bit of pressure on the lads as well, because everyone's going to think we're going to come out, you know, we're going to play in the spirit of Justin. But reality is, the guys are going to play how the game goes. And I think one thing is, the refereeing in National League last year for us was atrocious.
Well, there certainly will be a period of adjustment, and there will be six games in August. The games come thick and fast. Next, we're going to be talking about those games and some of those transfers.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by Julian Fern, Brendan Pitcher and Adam Sampson. We was just talking to Gary Alexander there, Leighton Orient legend, who loves to sing I'm Singing in the Rain. We've also spoke being back in League Two. We're going to speak a little bit about pre-season now and how you fared, because I've got to be honest, a lot of people say pre-season doesn't matter. It's all about match fitness, match sharpness, trying new formations, trying out new things, maybe giving the youth a couple of games. I disagree with that a little bit, because especially for a team that's either, in your case, both got a new manager or has been promoted, it's massive, because momentum can be so much going into a new season. Do you agree?
Yeah, winning's winning, isn't it? You know, if you're gonna base it on, you know, to try stuff out, and no one likes to get beaten. So if you look at our pre-season, we played 8, conceded 9 goals and scored 18, you know, so that's not bad. You know, we only had one loss in that, and that was the one on Monday night against Canvey Island. So I'm not too sort of disheartened, but there's some really, really good positives coming out of pre-season. And I think I've been to the last 3 or 4 pre-seasons, and I think it's so important for a club. I think it's important for the fans, yeah, to see what's going to happen. And, you know, we're going to invest a lot over the next few months, you know, in travel, in shirts and all those things. And I think pre-season sets the right tone.
Yeah, I think that momentum was kind of designed by the pre-season fixtures we chose. So we didn't really face anyone too difficult. Norwich City under-23s was kind of the biggest test. And I think maybe Ling had that in mind when he was putting together the schedule. Kind of just build it up, get wins, get confidence on the board, and then we'll go again on Saturday with wins and goals under our belt.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Brendan, because I did look at the fixtures earlier, the pre-season. I was doing a little bit of research and I thought, they haven't had a tough test, but as Julian said, win's a win, and that is all that matters. I did see a lovely little tasty friendly out in Marbella, so it's not all bad, is it? But we're looking at those pre-season games. You said how many you've scored, how many you've conceded. We're looking at the 6 games in August, and you said, you know, it's going to be tough. We are going to have that adjustment period coming from non-league, coming without Justin Edinburgh. You start with Cheltenham, then you've got Macclesfield, then you play Stevenage, then you play Mansfield Town, Crawley Town, then you play the new boys as well, Salford City. In that August, what's a realistic aim? You know, points-wise, I know we never can predict how it's going to go. You could have 6 wins, you could have 6 defeats, but realistically, are we putting a little aim on it, or are we just sort of, let's just find our feet, let's just get up to speed in League Two?
Just beat Salford.
That's all that matters, really.
Oh, is there a rivalry there that I don't know about?
There's a bit of a rivalry. We played in first game last season. And
big it up.
Ending up on the pitch when we scored a last-minute own goal, basically. And obviously, they were on our tails all last season. Couldn't get rid of them. And a bit of bad feeling about the way they're doing the promotions with all the money and stuff like that. But yeah, it'd be good to go up there and beat them. But I think, in answer to your question, I think, like I said earlier, to me, the start, the fixtures have been relatively kind. I think we've got not an easy start, no game's easy, but I think you'd expect in that we pick up a few points. And I think August is a month where everyone wants to win their first few games, but actually a few years ago we were top of the league under Ian Hendon. We were talking about it earlier before we started, and we ended up outside the playoffs. We just tumbled over November and December, and I think it's just about consistency. Last year we were very consistent. We'd grind out 0-0s if we had to. We'd come from behind and pick up points. And I think for me, under all of the circumstances, we get through that month with maybe one or two losses, a couple of wins and a few draws, I think I'll be relatively happy.
But as usual, I think we're travelling numbers, and that's a good thing for the Orient. It's sort of early season when it's still sunny, you know, you'll get a good following away as much as our home game. So I think, as Adam said, you know, we've got to think a bit, be more realistic, and realistic that this is all new for everything. But we need to get a good couple of wins under those games in August.
Well, we've had a message here on the first Leighton Orient fan show. We've had a message on WhatsApp, so thank you for that. I don't know. They've not left their name. So if you did WhatsApp us, I'm going to read it out now. If it was you, please text back. But they've said, great show, guys. It's definitely your mum, Julian. But good to hear about the club, even if we do agree or not agree. But do you think we need another forward or winger? Is it essential? We can't, and maybe a CM. I can't see another given the club, even though we have a full pre-season. And plus Joby to return. I'm not sure if I understand all of that.
The spelling looks on my mate, actually.
But it says minimum 9 points in August. Minimum. Do we agree with that? It's a big ask.
I think putting a points total on it is difficult. You've got a long way to go. But I agree with the point made about the striking options. I think for me, we need another striker. Definitely another centre mid and probably a winger. I think the thing is, if we get lucky with injuries, I think our starting 11 is probably up there in terms of League Two, but I think our depth, I think if one of our strikers gets injured, we've got James Alabi and Matt Harrold, can't see him scoring many goals from starting games, and I think it's a massive point for me where I think it could be the difference between potentially pushing for a playoff spot or actually struggling down the bottom of the league.
We do this thing, don't we, as fans, where when the fixtures are released, we look at it, right, who are we playing on my birthday? Who are we playing on Boxing Day? Who are we playing on New Year's Day? When are we playing the rivals? And then we do this thing, we all do it, and Adam, you just touch upon it there, where you go, oh, it's not a bad start in August. But really, we don't know, because we're not looking into the other clubs. We don't know how their pre-season's gone. We don't know who they've signed, or how they're looking, or how their momentum's gone. So where you go, I think that's a fairly relative easy August. I think we might pick up a few wins yet. And then you come in and you have four defeats. You just don't know, do you? August is a real random month. We just don't know what to expect, do we?
Agree. Going back to the sort of the player thing, I think I sort of slightly disagree with that. And I think our strike force is pretty strong. You know, we got two good new strikers who have come in good form, you know, and you've got Harold, who's played well back in the last season. Got our cult hero, James Alabi, who's... I think he's got the best song. Everyone just loves him, and even if he can't score, but he's loved by the fans. But I think centre mid for us, I think we said it in National League, we never had that enforcer. Yeah, we got really sort of good players in there. We got Josh Wright, who we signed, just his last signing. You know, great ball player. You've got Dale Gorman in there, and you've got Craig Clay, last year's sort of player of the year. But we don't have a real enforcer. You've got a couple of young lads that are coming through. And that, to me, is something I'd like to see sign. And a winger, definitely.
I also think if we're going to stick with the three at the back like we have through pre-season, I think we might need a right wing-back. Because we play wing-backs and we play defensive full-backs at wing-back. And I think it's fine having Widdowson on one side, who's quite defensive-minded, and that's fine, he's steady. But then maybe someone like... I know he's poor for us, and we probably won't get him, but someone in the mould of Jake Caprice, who can bomb forward, get crosses in, do kind of more the attacking side, a bit of balance in the team.
Brendan, then, I asked you because, you know, it is a bit different. We saw Fulham last year. They got promoted up from the Championship, was in the Prem. Then they went and spent all that money, completely changed the face of their team, the core of the team. They didn't really stick with the team that won promotion. Should Orient stick with a team that won promotion? You're saying they need a wing back, but are they thinking this is the team that won us promotion? They got enough points then. Let's see how they get on in League Two.
Yeah, I think it's getting that right balance is key. So maybe we've signed three players off the top of my head so far.
Yeah.
So maybe if we get three more, five or six isn't a massive turnover, I think. I think Fulham did something stupid like 11 or 12. So five or six, fresh faces, especially with the tragedy and the circumstances, maybe a bit of new blood, maybe people that won't have experienced that hurt will be nice for the camp and everything. Yeah.
Is that enough though, three signings in? I know you said you need a few more. We know, unfortunately, the let's say the ugly side of football is who spends the most is the teams that are successful. You have to spend now to be successful. You have to spend to at least be competitive. Are Leighton Orient in that department doing enough?
I think that consistency is massively underrated. I think last season we went into the season and we pretty much had the same team that finished the season before, and I think we saw it again in 2013-14 when we almost made the Championship in the playoff final, where we basically kept the same squad. And I think there is something to be said for that, Justin, I think, said in one of his final interviews that this squad deserves a chance at League Two, and I agree with that. However, for me, last year, there were gaps which we got away with in terms of centre midfield. I think that was a big gap, and that had been a gap for 18 months before. We didn't really sort that out, and I think we've brought in Josh Wright, who's, I think, a decent enough player, but we need that ball-winning player. I think, like Brendan said, it's just it's a mixture. You need that, for me, consistency in that core group, which I think we've got, but I feel like you need to add them players, even if it's just for squad depth. And we'll be found out in a league above, I think, if we don't add in those positions.
I think starting 11, I think on paper looks all right, but I do think we're a week down the right, you know, and everyone's got the opinion. Sam Ling, for the last season, and some of the games that we lost or conceded, stuff come down that side, and so you sort of think, okay, rumours were he's unfit, etc., but reality is the football player's on the pitch and he's got to do his best. So there's some weaknesses there, and the cover there is okay. I think that, again, to look at that, but definitely in the middle of the park, and there were games last year where you got back in the car after an away game, thought, oh, we've sailed through that, you know, we'd know midfield, and it just, the ball was going from back to front with nothing in the middle. They're just hard work.
I think something we've also hasn't mentioned yet is the loss of Caroma and Bond, which is massive. Probably made up about 70% of our goals last season. Yeah. We've got to try and make that up. Wilkinson and Ango are both decent strikers, but will they score the amount of goals Caroma and Bond did? We've got, I think, maybe one more striker is needed to try and try and add to the squad a bit. Yeah,
well, we have had another WhatsApp in. It was from the first one. He's WhatsApped again. I say he, it could be anyone. They still haven't left their name, but what they've put now is, we're not going to sign anyone now that will take one of the starting places. This is what will make getting a forward in harder. We should have gone for a younger player like Rutherford at Havant, who score goals in the league below. Maybe he could sit on the bench, develop before starting. Do we agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Because you're right, I think people have seen the sort of signings and go, you know, our starting two, and we it allowed Alabi to stay on, you know, so that was there. So you've got two others on the bench who would be in a lot of teams starting 11. I think we got to... For goals in this league is so important, you know, because
in every league,
you know, but in the National League, you know, we defended really well. The strikers generally weren't overly great against us, so we didn't concede as much. But we got to put the chance there. Even Macca last year, you know, Macca had three chances, score one goal. He wouldn't do that in this league, and he'll learn his stripes as a child when there has moved on to there and get better. Replacing Josh, I think, yes, important. Replacing Macca, I think we've brought two great signings in, but reality is they're not Macca and not Josh, but we don't know what they're going to be until they start.
Yeah, I think, I guess going onto the opposite side of that view, for me, I would have liked someone to come in, proven League Two goal scorer, been around the block a bit, maybe early 30s. For me, we've got no one in our squad that has been there and done it. I think the two players that we've got up front that will probably start on Saturday are good, and I very much in favour of signing them, but I just think that sometimes you need to swap players out. Last year, Cordy Bond played pretty much every minute of every game, and you just need someone to freshen that forward line up and just been there, done it, score the goals when you need one, bring them off the bench. So I don't feel like we've really got someone we can rely on.
Well, you just spoke about players that are going to be starting Saturday. The league does kick off. You're going to be playing Cheltenham Town. Next, we have John Palmer, sports journalist, to tell us what he thinks of Cheltenham's chances.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Leighton Orient Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by Julian Fern, Brendan Pitchard and Adam Sampson. And we've also been joined by John Palmer, sports journalist, who covers Cheltenham Town. League 2 is kicking off this weekend. Leighton Orient are playing Cheltenham. It's at Leighton Orient. There's going to be a lot of emotions flying around on the day. How are Cheltenham feeling about this game on Saturday, John?
I think they are probably quite worried because it's going to be such an emotionally charged occasion. Obviously, there's the fact that Orient have come up from the league below, which is going to make it a bit of a party atmosphere. And then there's obviously all the emotional side of things after what happened since they last played. So I think it's going to be a lot of emotions flying around. And I actually think it's a really tough start to the season for Cheltenham because of that. It's probably made it an even harder game than it would have been if that wasn't the case.
I think it's been quite remarkable, John, that the affinity, I think, that's built up, obviously, since this fixture come out. The Cheltenham Town fans have been collecting for the Justin Edinburgh Foundation. Obviously, they've created this huge flag that they're going to be displaying on Saturday. It's obviously interesting, we discussed it earlier, that sort of rivalry that you'd expect on the first day has sort of been put to a side a bit.
Yeah, I think there'll be quite a friendly atmosphere in the stands because, like you said, it's an incredible gesture. And I saw the flag on Sunday. They had it on display at the club's open day, so I got the first chance to actually see it in the flesh, and it looks brilliant. And they've raised over 2,000 there, so any money they had left over after funding the flag is going to go to the charity, the Justin Edinburgh Free Foundation. So I think it touched everyone in football, didn't it, what happened? And I think Cheltenham fans felt like they had to do something. And well done to the guys that from the 1887 who put it together, Red Army. Absolutely brilliant. And the response to it has been brilliant as well. And it's got a lot of people talking. It's all been positive. And I don't think there's ever been any nastiness between Cheltenham and Leyton Orient. I think there's always been quite a friend, no issues in the past. But I think this will just bring the clubs a little bit closer together, hopefully, as well.
And in terms of your club, Cheltenham, Michael Duff ended the season really strongly, and a lot of people are tipping them as almost dark horses, I think, from the outside. What's the mood like around the place, around Cheltenham? Do you think there's a playoff place, top half? What's the expectation?
I think, like you said, the expectations have raised massively after the way Cheltenham finished last season, because they did start pretty poorly and looked like they were going to be in trouble for the whole season, but they pulled away pretty impressively under Duff once he got his sort of methods across. So I think there is a bit of optimism around, but I think most Cheltenham fans have probably settled to just mid-table this season after battling against relegation for most of the 3 years since they got back into the Football League. So I think even though playoff push could be an outside shout, I think most Cheltenham fans would just settle for a solid maybe 12th place finish after looking like they're going to be in trouble for a lot of last season. But yeah, Duff's definitely brought a bit of a feel-good factor back.
John, we've been speaking about how emotionally charged Saturday's game is going to be, the first one without Justin Edinburgh. It's at home, and how much pressure almost mentally this may play on the Leyton Orient players. But it could also play a part in the Cheltenham side's mentality as well, couldn't it?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think it's a difficult game for Cheltenham, like I said earlier. I think it's going to be such an emotional day, probably the most emotional day any of the Cheltenham players will have played in. A lot of them are young lads, they probably won't have experienced anything like this before. That it's going to be difficult occasion. I think Michael Duff obviously has got to put all that to one side when he prepares for the game and just say focus on the job in hand, and they've got to try and win the game against a Leyton Orient team that are going to be on a high from what they did on the pitch last season, but they're going to be emotionally charged from what's happened off the pitch. So I think it's a difficult one, and I think it'll be quite hard for Cheltenham to treat it like any normal game. It's going to be a really unusual atmosphere, I think, but hopefully a good one, and hopefully an entertaining game as well.
And Cheltenham were in a similar position to Orient in that they won the National League and came up. We've been talking about how big the gap is between the National League and League Two. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I think most people thought that teams that came up from the National League tended to thrive, and quite a few of them went up again. People like Yeovil, Stevenage, Cheltenham have had a little spell in League One as well. But I think recently teams that have come up have found it a little bit harder. Cheltenham found it hard when they first came up. Forest Green found it very hard 2 seasons ago when they first came up. And obviously Macclesfield were battling against it for most of last season. In the end, they pulled it off, which was a remarkable achievement to stay up. So I think it is looking like a bit more of a step up now. So there's a lot of ambitious clubs in the National League. It is a hard one to get out of, and the Orient has done really well to get out of it. What they did last season, but I think it is a step up. I think there's the bottom of the conference or the National League is probably quite a lot weaker than the bottom of League Two. But I think the top half, a lot of the teams in the top half, you wouldn't expect them to struggle. I'm not expecting Salford to struggle, and I'm certainly not expecting Orient to struggle, but it has recent performances over the last years have suggested that it is a bit of a step up, and you have to be ready for it and have a squad to cope with it, because obviously it's physically demanding.
That's great, John. And Cheltenham have signed Reuben Reid from Forest Green. He'd be a familiar face to anyone that's watched much League Two football over the years. How big a signing do you think that is?
Well, I think he was probably the marquee signing of the summer, but unfortunately he won't be involved on Saturday, and he's probably going to miss the first couple of months of the season because he's had a knee operation.
Yes! So. We just let out a massive cheer, John. That's all we called you for. Thanks for that.
Sorry, so, John. Yeah, Reuben Reid was sort of the big signing of the summer, really. But just after starting training, he had a problem with his knee. He's had surgery. He's going to be out for a couple of months. So it's going to be Luke Varney and Tavon Campbell up front on Saturday, I would imagine. The Tavon Campbell also came from Forest Green in the summer. And Varney, I'm sure you'll have seen play against Orient years and years ago when he was at Crewe. Maybe you don't remember that far back, but he's had a great career. He's pushing 37 now, but he was Cheltenham Player of the Year last year, so those two will probably start up front on Saturday. But Reid hopefully will be a big signing when he gets fit, but we're not expecting him to see him back and probably till October, November at the earliest.
Well, with that injury news, John, we have to ask you before we let you go, what is your score prediction for the weekend?
I think with everything that's going on, Cheltenham are a lot better at home than they were away last season. And I think Cheltenham will set up almost to contain Orient. And I think it will be a low-scoring draw. So I'm going to go for... I know it's a bit of a fence-sitting, but I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. Sitting on the fence. Cheers, John. John Palmer there, sports journalist covering Cheltenham Town. We really appreciate it. He knew his stuff. Talking to people who know his stuff. Brendan, you are the dark horse. We didn't need to get John Palmer on the show. You know, you knew your stuff about Cheltenham there.
Well, I like to dip my toes into League 2, League 1. While we're in the conference, I kept my eye on it, and yeah.
Hold on, where's that accent? Where's that accent from? Is that Cheltenham?
Well, let's start with Brendan then, because he does. He's done his research. It's clear for all to see. What's your score prediction for the weekend?
I'm going to go conservative with a 1-1 draw, I think.
Maybe, we can do better than this, come on.
Maybe concede an early goal, maybe a late equaliser, and that'll set us up for a win against Macclesfield next week.
There we go. Julian?
2-1-0s.
Oi.
I think a draw, but I'm going to say a 4-0 win to Orient. We're going to blow them out of the water. Without Ruben Reid, the players will be listening to this and they'll have a boost.
I think that it's going to be a draw just because I think it's going to be a strange day for both parties. And I think it all comes down to and all depends on who sort of doesn't get buckled by it, doesn't fold in that situation. Because I think it's going to be a really strange day for both parties. It could be a positive reaction. It could be a negative one. I think... once you do find your feet and we get up and running, then I think I do believe Orient might fly. But I just think the first few games, very tricky waters. They need to be navigated, don't they, Julian? Julian's staring me down, so I've tried to pick it up right at the end of that speech.
No, not at all. I just think you're right. The emotions are going to definitely play a big part. But I just think the O's have got it. You just look at the squads. You know, Orient are definitely going to sort of go out to get that win just for the positive. So I'm going to back it, and I'll see you next week, and I'll put a couple of quid on it.
Yeah. Couple of quid, yeah. Is that confident? Well, I did ask you earlier. I wanted you to have a think about it, you know, and hopefully you would have come to a decision. I did kind of throw it on you, but I'm sure it was a team effort. I hope this, because I know it's a trio here, it's a party, but I hope there's not one leading voice. But it is now time for your club legend of the week. Okay, so who is getting to do the honours for club legend of the week? Adam, please.
So, Orient being a club which is known to be a bit of a laughing stock at times, I say we're going to approach this slightly differently. We're going to do some cult heroes, and the first one is former number one goalkeeper, Eldin Yakupovic.
Oh, I love that man. He's gorgeous.
A long-haired lover from Hull. So he come on loan. We had an injury crisis in our 2013-14 season where we were top of the league. We desperately needed a keeper. We got two or three in. Sean Jalal, Ben Ulnick. Didn't do the job. He come in. I think we won something like 5 games in a row. He had long hair. Every time we scored a goal, we'd celebrate like we just won the World Cup. He cut his hair off, actually, which I was a bit disappointed at, but still love him. Randomly got recalled after Hull City's Alan McGregor got sent off in the last minute against, I think it was someone like Palace in the Premier League. The club tried to keep him around, but they couldn't. And after that, we went on a bit of another losing streak, got him back in again, helped us to win. Unfortunately, he wasn't in goal for the playoff final where our keeper got lobbed from the halfway line. But
Jamie Jones,
we could be in the Premier League by now.
So that was a unanimous choice, yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that was your club legend of the week. I'm excited about this because you're doing cult heroes, not club legends. Same thing, though, sort of. Yeah. Different wording. Are you going to go through all the positions then? Start with the keeper, and we're going to play it out from the back.
I think so, yeah. We might do a few Twitter polls, see what people want to vote in.
I like it. We'll get Love Sport Radio in. I've done the plug. You've done the plug. Everyone's winning. So we'll get a few Twitter polls. This has been the first ever Leighton Orient fan show. I hope you all enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to next week. And when we do come back next week and we talk, hopefully we'll be talking about 3 points in the bag, a beautiful day, Justin Edinburgh Foundation, all the fans got on, and a brilliant start to being back in League 2.
This is Love Sport. This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.